Welcome to Disney A, the Canadian-themed Disney travel podcast. We're your hosts. I'm Brandon.
And I'm Krista.
Did I enunciate enough
you
for
did.
You?
You did. That was very impressive. Yeah. I'm impressed by the impressiveness of that.
One of these times I'm just going to do it in monotone.
No, you will not. You wouldn't be able to. You'd start laughing partway through.
You would start laughing.
That is very true. You can't do that if I'm I often have a drink while you're starting. You can't do that then.
Spit take would be amazing.
Yeah, not on all over my laptop.
Well, aim it somewhere else.
No control.
Aim it in my face. It'd be fine.
There's no control in a spit take. How you doing, Brandon?
I'm okay.
Yeah?
Yeah, a little tired still.
Yeah, me too.
Still recovering.
Mm-hmm.
We were away last week.
Mm-hmm.
Big trip out to Whistler, BC.
Which is gorgeous. Have no idea what that looks like, you should Google it, because it's very pretty.
It's basically a big ski town. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't ski season yet.
Which is why we were able to go.
it's a very expensive ski town, yes. For sure. Huge ski hill. It's actually two ski hills combined, and they're connected at the summits by a big gondola, which I would like to go on someday. Mm-hmm. I think you can do it when it's not ski season, actually.
Yeah.
I think they run it. I don't know.
Yeah, we looked. This is our second time going. They do. I keep saying it's a food and wine. It's a food and beverage festival.
It's called Cornucopia.
Yeah, we went last year and had so much fun. We decided to go again this year. But last year when we went, we looked at the gondola and they actually shut it down during this week to prepare for ski season.
Mm.
Yeah, so we'll have to go maybe slightly earlier. Cornucopia goes for a couple weeks or maybe the entire month, 3 weeks in November. I don't know. It goes for part of November.
It's like 2.5 weeks, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So maybe if we went earlier, because it seems like the gondola was only shut down.
Well, we were there at the very start of Cornucopia. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah, that was the kickoff weekend.
Never mind.
I don't know. Whatever. It was fun.
Super fun.
But yeah, I'm a little tired, and we both caught bugs on the plane ride home.
Every
I'm pretty sure.
Time.
So yeah, that's just how travel goes these days.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, Brandon, what are you drinking?
I am drinking a brand new beer from our local brewery.
Yeah.
It's called Interstellar.
Interstellar Chaos.
Interstellar Chaos.
Yeah.
Ah, okay. That was the filming of the Christopher Nolan film.
Exactly. It was chaos.
It was chaos. I don't know if that's true, but not his best work anyway.
Interesting. It's interesting.
Anyway, it's a hazy IPA and it's delicious and I love it.
Nice. Yeah. I was there with some coworkers, and as we were leaving, I saw that they had this new one, and I know you love hazy IPAs, so I grabbed that for you.
I'm legally bound to try all their beers.
It's true. It's true. I said this one he has not tried yet.
Yeah.
So.
Otherwise, believe it or not, straight to jail.
Yeah.
How about you? What are you drinking?
Nothing compares to straight to jail. I'm having a cup of tea like a civilized person.
What's in the tea?
This is called gingerbread spice tea.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also pumpkin liqueur in it.
Nice.
The
pumpkin rum.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I thought it went nicely with gingerbread. So
yeah, that works. Yeah, that works.
And then I also have a pumpkin beer.
Yeah, you were just a little more sick than me, so you wanted some hot beverage to go with your.
I was having my beer and it was partly done, and I thought, man, if I'm talking a lot, a cup of tea would be nice. So
I'm hoping this beer lasts and my throat lasts through this whole episode, but we'll see.
But
how
if we start
goes.
To sound a little raw or weird or something,
or if I sniffle too much.
Yeah, same.
I'm so sorry. But...
Same, Brandon. What's your nerd thing this week?
Well, it's a big week in the old World of Warcraft.
Mm-hmm.
The patch dropped, the new patch dropped a week and a half ago, shortly before our trip, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And then the new raid started on Tuesday. And so I'm going to be raiding tomorrow for the first time in a while.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
Nice.
I'm doing some of the new dungeons and stuff like that. So, it's a big week in World of Warcraft.
Nice. I don't know. I have a few things. This last week was the kids didn't have school, but we had lots of PD days. And so that was interesting. Lots of meetings, which is,
oh
my
goodness.
My
that sounds
thing.
So fun. Let's do more meetings.
Actually, my principal's really good about meetings. He keeps it super, super focused. And I don't think he likes meetings either. So
no one should like
right, so he's okay, we've talked about enough, let's move on.
Yes.
So that makes it I still don't love meetings, but at least it's manageable.
I could probably handle, like, sometimes you need to have a meeting. Yeah. You need to form a quorum.
Yeah.
As they say.
Mm-hmm.
Only losers say that, mm-hmm, but mm-hmm. Anyway. But you need to be focused. And yeah. You need an agenda, and you need to bing, bang, boom. Not kind of flop all over the place.
But there were some there were some interesting, you know, speakers, and anyway, it's been a Wikipedia, and we came back from Whistler on a little tiny plane, by the way, and I was really tired, you know, the traveling, and you're eating a lot of food and maybe drinking a little bit of wine.
There was a fair bit of wine, yes.
And then just traveling, like, I don't sleep very well typically, like, usually takes me a while to get into good sleeping while traveling.
Mm-hmm.
So then coming home, and we came home kind of late, and then sitting in, like, meetings and PD all day for a week. It's amazing how tiring just sitting is, actually. Oh, yeah. So, you know, but it was, like, some good stuff. But so that's been, like, my week. And it was report cards before that. So it's just been, like, a lot of, like, work-focused stuff after the whirlwind of traveling. But I'm actually in the middle. I paused villager hunting on Animal Crossing.
I made you pause it because I was like, let's do this now.
Yeah, so I'm...
Because I'm busy tomorrow.
Yes, so. I'm on ticket 82 right now in a villager hunt. It's my last villager hunt for my one island.
No one knows what
that means, but okay. If you play Animal Crossing, you know what it means. And a lot of people played Animal Crossing. They don't still, probably, but they did. Yeah, so anyway, I'm making an all-purple island on one of my islands, and there's one villager left, and I'm on ticket 82, and I can't find a purple villager to save my life, and I was swearing earlier.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
That's my nerd thing. And it's Christmas.
It is Christmas. Like, our American friends,
happy Thanksgiving.
Are still holding out for Thanksgiving next week.
Yeah.
This
will come out, like, this will be the closest episode, so happy Thanksgiving, American friends.
Yeah. So they're holding out for that a lot. Like, they have that extra buffer,
mm-hmm.
whereas we hit Remembrance Day, and then it's, like, full-blown yeah. Christmas. Like, there's no excuse to not be full-blown Christmas.
No, not here. So usually I would decorate the day after Remembrance Day, but because we were gone.
We were away for Remembrance Day,
probably 3/4 of the decorating, maybe a little bit more, but we didn't turn anything on until we came home. So now it's Christmas. I've been playing Christmas music even. There's, like, it's just Christmas in our house.
Yeah.
I haven't started wearing the sweaters yet. That's in December.
We're just trying to save all our decorations from our new cat, who
yes.
is a bit psycho.
So it's a little weird because I don't have as many decorations out, but Lilith is still a kitten and entranced by the tree, so we're a little...
She's only climbed it once.
Only climbed it once, but it's amazing what she takes an interest in. So a lot of our decorations are just not going to go up this year.
Yeah, she likes to play with stuff. She tried to murder Jabba the Hutt earlier.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then she took out his Gamorrean guard as well. And, like, yeah. All
oh, she took a... Pig, she was against
Christmas
Piglet.
Christmas Piglet.
Yeah.
Had a bad day.
Yeah,
She's basically full-on homicidal maniac, really.
She really embraced her name.
Yeah.
She hasn't wrecked any of these things, but we find them in, like, weird places, and she seems like one who's going to destroy the tree. So we've had the tree up with the lights on, and I'm just, like, slowly adding a couple things, but it's all going to be, like, non-breakable stuff.
And the funny thing is, she's not constant about it. She just wants to show off sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, it's like when we're sitting there, she'll try and climb the tree or mm-hmm. whatever. So I don't know.
So it didn't take... Normally it takes me, like, a day and a half to fully decorate everything, and it took me, like, half a day because I was like, this is a lot of breakable stuff I'm not going to put out.
Yeah.
But that's okay. It's still festive and Christmassy.
Mm-hmm. I feel Christmassy. I'm actually pretty excited to start watching some Christmas movies and stuff.
I think my plan was tonight, but now villager hunting is going so long, is I'm going to get into a couple... ease into some Christmas movies. I never got to Nightmare Before Christmas,
mm-hmm.
and that's both a Halloween and a Christmas
one. That's a good transition.
So I think that's going to be my first transition, and then I think I might just throw on some Hallmark.
Yeah, they're enjoyable in their own sad, sadistic way.
Yeah, they're, like, cozy, and yeah.
And then we're going to a Santa Claus parade next
yep.
weekend.
Yeah, no, it's full on Christmas. I'm so excited.
The tree lighting. Mm-hmm. We'll have our own Hallmark Christmas
mm-hmm.
movie.
Mm-hmm. Carolers and tree lighting and the whole thing.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
I am too.
Yeah, so that's an additional nerd thing, I guess. I took lots of nerd things this week.
That's okay.
Okay. We also, now, typically here we talk about our latest episode. Do you want to do a spoiler-free gut reaction, but our entire episode is about the latest episode?
Just stay tuned. Okay.
In place, let's do our spoiler warning.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's a spoiler warning. We're spoiling Loki. It's about Loki this week.
Yep.
Well, instead, well, I transitioning into the news, I suppose. Did you wanna play the news bumper or
whatever? Disney A news update.
Yeah, just staying on the Marvel track.
Better know a listener.
That's fine. We can do that after the news. Yeah.
Okay.
We're on a roll.
We're on a roll. Staying on the Marvel track.
Stop trying to derail my train. Casey Jr.'s on the track.
Nice Disney reference in there too.
Yeah,
I like it.
Okay, you derailed me though. Okay, no,
Marvel.
We're on the Marvel track. They dropped the episode titles and a teaser trailer for What If.
Can we go through the episode titles, please?
Yeah. Okay, I'm okay with that. I sent them to you.
You did. I'm pulling them up right now.
Again, this is a slight spoiler warning. It's just the episode.
It's the episode titles. It's nothing actual content focused. Although we did see the trailer, like you said.
The trailer looks pretty cool. I'm excited. What If season one was
shockingly good.
I really liked it, and the band's kind of getting back together, it seems like.
We say with question mark, and
you got The Watcher and you got Strange Supreme anyway. Mm-hmm. That's What If at 99% power, basically.
That part is true. Yeah, that part's true.
Captain Carter's back as well. We see that in the trailer. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I'm
excited.
I'm very excited.
I'm super excited. Okay, first of all, What If season two? This is different. I want to talk the release first of all. It comes out on December 22nd.
Yep, and there's some significance to this because
they're doing an episode a day.
Yes,
for like the whole season.
They're releasing an episode every day, mm-hmm, for 9 days straight.
Mm-hmm.
And that means, so when we go through the episode titles, the 22nd release date means that the important episode comes out on the proper day.
I'm so excited. You sent this to me and I was like, what?
Yes. Yeah, so there's not What If season two, 9 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Episode one is What If Nebula joined the Nova Corps.
Interesting. You know what? Every time I see Nebula in any shape or form, I like her more and more and more.
And Karen Gillian is pretty cool. And
yeah.
I think most of the characters are voiced by their actual...
That's so cool.
...counterparts.
Yeah.
I don't 100% know. I do know Jeff Goldblum.
Yep.
That voice is unmistakable.
Yes, true.
Unless that's like a pure sound alike.
Yeah.
Like that was.
Well, yeah. Season one, they used mostly.
Yes.
So, mm-hmm.
Like including Chadwick Boseman.
Yeah, that was.
Which was his last appearance.
Yeah. And then we heard him again, and it was like.
Yeah.
Keep going.
Okay. So, yeah, we're going to see some more like Guardians of the Galaxy type area of stuff there.
I like that.
Including episode two, What If Peter Quill attacked Earth's Mightiest Heroes?
I am having a hard time wrapping my head around this one.
Interesting.
Right?
I mean, a lot of people want to see Peter Quill beat up after what he did in Infinity War, so...
Maybe that's the... I don't know. Okay, keep going.
Okay, so that's the two episodes.
Yes. Episode 22nd, 23rd.
Episode 3,
mm-hmm,
What If Happy Hogan Saved Christmas?
I am so, literally that's the one that stood out to me so much. I'm so excited for
that. So that's coming out either on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, depending on where you live in the world.
Right.
And that's just perfect.
That is wonderful. And it's Happy Hogan. Oh my gosh.
And in the trailer, if you've watched it, there's like extreme like Die Hard reference,
mm-hmm,
and stuff.
I'm so excited,
very excited
for this
one. Yeah,
I'm so excited for this one.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm so excited for that one.
And then after that, what if Iron Man crashed into the Grand Master? So I think this is the cut episode from season one, if you recall.
Oh.
They were planning to have an Iron Man Grand Master episode.
Right.
And I don't know if it's changed or not, but like there was even a Lego set about it and stuff like that. And then I think one of the characters in the final episode where they all came together like didn't make super sense because they cut an episode.
Yeah, totally.
Anyway, that looks kind of cool. It was, that was also in the trailer. It kind of looked like a Mad Max style.
That's totally the vibe I got.
Mario Kart kind of thing. Yes. But like, yeah. Anyway, that'll be cool. What if Captain Carter fought the Hydra Stomper?
That's the one I was waiting to hear.
Which
That's...
follows very closely to season one at the end of that episode.
I'm surprised we don't get to see that till so far into the season.
Yeah, they're probably going to do all the fun stuff and then build up to like maybe another coming together. But
right.
I'm going to be disappointed now if it doesn't like tie up
Fair.
Like something brings all the like anthologies are fun and all, but it is nice to have something like as a capper, a little cherry on top to make watching them all worth it.
Well, the first one, I was surprised when they all ended up coming together.
Yes, I wasn't expecting it, but it was nice.
It was nice and it was well done. So now that's precedent has been set.
Precedent's been set, expectations are set, so they probably are going to do it again.
I hope so.
Oh, and now this one, episode 6, people are pretty excited about this one as well. And
better than Happy Saving Christmas?
Probably you wouldn't. No, but it's called What If the Avengers Assembled in 1602. And this is based on a very famous comic book run written by Neil Gaiman.
Oh, I love Neil Gaiman.
About
You told me about this run.
A historical, like, alternate history with the Avengers in literally in 1602.
That's amazing.
And so I don't know if they're going to be able to do it justice in a single episode of What If, which typically are not very long, like maybe a half hour.
Oh my gosh.
But it sounds really, really cool, and people really like the comic book run, and of course Neil Gaiman's pretty
so good at this kind of stuff.
Pretty genius, so yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing that.
Okay, if that's what that is, because you told me about that comic book run, and I've never wanted to read a comic so much before. I love that, and want to, okay, that is the one I am second most excited for.
Yeah.
After Happy Saving Christmas.
Okay, you might be excited about this next one as well.
Okay.
Episode 7 is What If Hela Found the Ten Rings?
Mm.
So, we got some Thor...
Oh, that'd be so bad.
Ragnarok action callbacks, as well as, hey, Shang-Chi exists as well.
Yeah, remember? You guys like Shang-Chi.
I did like Shang-Chi. Please bring back Shang-Chi.
Yeah, you should watch Shang-Chi again.
I would like it. That was a very good movie.
It was.
Yeah. And then, okay, this one, I have no idea. I'm going to do my best. What if Kahori reshaped the world? I don't know what a Kahori is, but it doesn't sound good.
No.
Reshaping the world.
Generally not a good thing.
And followed very closely by episode 9, What If Strange Supreme intervenes. So I think those two are going to be like a two-parter type of thing.
Okay.
I don't think Kahori reshaping the world is a good thing. And,
correct.
And I think the Watcher comes and gets Strange Supreme to help out because Strange Supreme is pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm. I'm so excited for that.
Doesn't make the best decisions in life, but he can fix things too, I guess.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's pretty cool.
I'm so excited for that.
What If? Yay!
Yeah.
It's interesting, they're kind of experimenting with these different release patterns.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the stuff on Disney Plus has come out weekly.
Yeah.
This is going to come out daily.
And Echo's going to get dumped.
And Echo's going to be a full binge.
Mm-hmm. So it's interesting.
And, man, Echo, it looks really bloody.
It does. Oh my gosh. That was shocking.
Like, super duper R-rated.
I was like, it's not, though.
Well, there's dudes getting their heads blown off on screen. Like, that's...
I could not believe that that is, like... I don't know, Brandon. I don't know.
Like, I'm pretty sure that's TV 18 or whatever they would say.
It's crazy.
TVM. I
don't
know.
Super bloody. Like, it calls back a lot to the Netflix ones, is how I'm feeling with it.
Yes, it felt very Netflix-y.
Very similar to that,
Which is cool. I think that it's kind of like the Daredevil universe. It needs...
That grittier.
It needs that.
To it.
Like, Kingpin works better...
Gritty.
As gritty.
Mm-hmm.
Daredevil can do both. Like, he in the comic book world, he's can be gritty, but he can also hang out with Spider-Man, who's like super not gritty.
Right.
So yeah, I don't know.
Okay, cool. Other news, speaking of the MCU, Loki ended, but we have a new movie.
We do have a new movie.
We haven't seen it.
We have not seen it, but it is a incredible, major, massive flop.
Yeah.
It is the first bomb in the MCU.
It's amazing.
Like, there were some that have underperformed dating back to even Incredible Hulk. The second MCU movie didn't do very well. things like Thor 2.
Even Iron Man 2.
Iron Man 2 did okay box office, but was, like, kind of underwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have things like Eternals.
Mm-hmm.
Not doing great. Ant-Man 3, kind of, these are all more recent, more recent ones, kind of doing less, but, or Black Widow, but that was also COVID time, and had a simultaneous release on Disney Plus. All of those have made more than double the Marvels did on opening week. Well, not more than double, but about double.
That's crazy. You know what? I haven't really heard anything about it, but anything I have heard is, like, mostly positive.
I've heard that it's fun. The villain is kind of bad, which comes across in the trailer. Mm-hmm. And that was my worry. But, like, I think the three heroines look pretty cool, and I wouldn't mind having adventures with them. But, like,
we're not going to if this is not doing well. So
it's unfortunate, but...
our last episode was, we discussed this, so.
We did. On the horizon, though, and it's, the other part of the news is the SAG, strike is completely over.
Mm-hmm.
They did come to an agreement, as we were talking about before, so things are, like, kind of back to normal as well as film production-wise.
Yeah, or moving back to normal anyway,
But as part of this, there's actually only one MCU movie on the schedule for next year. And that's the first time since 2010, I think, that's been...
Are you serious?
The case, yes. And can you guess what that movie is?
No. I don't even know what's next because it all got...
Well, there's only one.
Groovy.
There's only one. There's a bunch of stuff planned and may or may not be canceled. Who knows?
It's not Blade, is it?
No. It's not Blade. No, Blade... got pushed. Who knows when that's coming out?
Exactly.
Who knows? They might pull some stuff forward now as well, because there's only really one on the schedule. Deadpool 3.
Really?
And that was, like, half filmed when the strike started. There's been some set photos of, like, Hugh Jackman in the suit and stuff like that. But we got Deadpool kind of holding down. Yeah. And you know what? If there's only going to be one movie that's released in a year, that's one that can shoulder... Everyone's excited for that.
Everyone's going to see that. That's going to make a lot of money.
Everyone's excited to see Hugh Jackman back as Wolverine. Yep. And everyone's excited to see what Deadpool does actually connected to the MCU. Because I'm fascinated where they go with that.
Yeah.
Like, absolutely fascinated.
Like, how? I don't know. So, I'm really excited to see this. I actually really want to see Marvels. We don't have a theater right here, otherwise we would have seen it already, but we have to, like, make a point. And had we been around opening weekend, we would have.
Yeah.
But we weren't.
And now I don't know when we might have to wait for it to come out to Disney Plus. Like, I don't know. It's the holidays.
We're part of the problem right now.
It's holiday season, and it's not great.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. But we will make an effort to see Deadpool.
Oh, for sure.
For sure, yeah. Okay, do you have other news?
Do I have other news?
I have very little other news, but I do have some.
Oh, yes, I do, actually. Along the lines of the MCU having problems, the director, I think he was the director of Shang-Chi, who had been attached to the Kang Dynasty, is now... not on that project anymore. We'll be focusing on Shang-Chi 2, which is a good thing.
Yes.
And possibly Wonder Man, but there was rumors that was canceled, so who knows. But, like, Shang-Chi 2 should probably
focus
be
on that.
His focus. So who knows who's going to do the Kang Dynasty, or if there's even going to be a Kang Dynasty.
I want to pick your brain about that later.
Because that's the other, like, fresh rumor as of yesterday, that after Loki, which we're going to talk about, that Marvel is going to be moving on from Jonathan Majors as Kang. So who knows what that means for their whole slate.
Yeah, I have a lot of questions.
His case, his legal case isn't going that well, and so...
I have a lot of questions. I want to pick your brain when you get into Loki about this.
It's... Yeah, yeah.
We're gonna I know it's all conjecture and rumor.
We're
going
to have to talk about it in Loki because he was a big part of this season.
100%. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's quickly run through some other stuff. Disney CEO Bob Iger confirms Frozen 4 is in development.
Oh my goodness.
Yep. There's a bunch of Life Day celebrations. You know, they've got some merch
Frozen
and stuff
4?
Like that. Yeah.
There's a Frozen 3?
Oh, well, that's already been confirmed.
Oh. Okay.
Yep.
Neat.
So there, it, not now, but there is. Oh yeah, and a bunch of food for Life Day too, at Galaxy's Edge. Yeah. Basically, at all the restaurants, they have some special food items. So even though that wouldn't be part of the foodie guide, it has its own little Life Day celebration kind of thing.
We can do a quickie episode about Life Day next week because we're
that sounds. Perfect.
We're gone next weekend as well, but we're gonna release an episode. And you know it's what? Just gonna be about Life Day.
I like it. Let's do that.
So you have to find the list of Life Day stuff, and we're gonna talk.
Let me skip past all the news items then that are about that.
Yeah, let's do that because we're gonna do that, and we can just mention. I know we've talked about it before, but the Star Wars holiday special.
Yeah, well, the last time we tried to talk about it, there was a crazy earnings call where everything
that's
in the world
right.
got announced.
So we can talk a little bit on that old holiday.
That's what we're
special.
Gonna do next week. Okay, perfect. There's a December hearing date is set for the arguments for the dismissal of Disney's federal lawsuit against DeSantis. So
he's doing super. He's having a good time. Mr. DeSantis, his career is going down in flames. Okay.
Schmoozy's has finally reopened.
Oh
after
yeah,
a three-month closure.
That was closed
3 months
for a long time.
It's crazy. There is a new inflatable at DCA, specifically in Avengers Campus. There's Lucky the Pizza Dog.
Oh, I love Lucky.
Yep. Oh, there. Oh no, that. Sorry, that was. I had more, but that was also more
Life Day
stuff. So then, the only other thing is, there was news that was immediately pulled back because it was rumor. So it was rumored that the Avatar attraction that has been discussed would be located in DCA, at the International Association of Amusement Parks and Attractions Expo. Someone from Disney said the Avatar experience would be coming to DCA, and then right away they said, no, nothing's been confirmed.
It's coming to DCA. Everybody knew that already anyway.
Yeah, but they just don't want to give any more information right now. Where else is it gonna go?
No,
otherwise the holidays are at Disneyland, and that's awesome. And I want to go back.
I personally don't have my hopes up for that. I think it's probably gonna be pretty underwhelming, whatever the heck it is.
I'm
happy to be pleasantly surprised, but I'm not holding my breath on that being something that I'm excited about.
Fair enough. We shifted things around, so do you have a better know a listener?
I do.
Okay, I also have something about a listener. Do you want to go first?
You go first.
Mine's short. I just want to give a shout out to Barb in Manitoba.
Hi, Barb in Manitoba.
Yeah. So anyway, she messaged us, so we wanted to say hi, because we like getting messages, and if you message us, we say hi to you.
You know, I've never ever been in Manitoba.
Just the airport.
Flown over Manitoba.
I've been in the Winnipeg airport.
Ah, so you've touched down in Manitoba. No, I've never touched solid ground in Manitoba.
Yeah, this is they're from a farm, and this very sweet. She had a little bit of information, but she says, we've been doing Disneyland, Walt Disney World, and the Disney Cruises since 2002 with our children and now our grandson.
Nice.
Being in the center of Canada, it's about the same distance from Florida or California. And also, one thing, do we apparently sound like we are from the prairies.
Oh, I mean, I've heard that before. It's interesting. Mm-hmm. I've heard both people being shocked that I'm from Canada because I don't have it. Like, I don't have the, get after it, bud. No do to boot it accent, but.
Right.
So I used to work for a call center that serviced Comcast customers in the States, a lot of Chicago people, and I would answer the phone, and they'd be happy that I didn't have like an Indian accent
or like a very thick accent at all.
And then they're like, "Well, where are you from?" And I'd be like, "Canada." And some of them would be like, "Oh, you don't sound like you have an accent at all. And then someone like, oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. So I thought this was funny that someone from Manitoba was like, you must be from the prairies. Your voice sounds like you're from the prairies. She said, or West Coast.
That's like half the country.
But she said, no, like Ontario.
Ontario does sound a little bit different for
and
sure.
And of course, East Coast is very
different. Except for like Northern Ontario, because they sound like they're from the prairies.
That's true.
If you watch Letterkenny, which is like the second most famous show out of Canada, they sound like they're from the prairies.
When you turned it on the first time, I was in another room and I could hear it. And I'm like, these guys sound like who I grew up with.
And it's like that show is only slightly hyperbolic. Like,
it's hyperbolic.
I've met people that are basically those people.
Well, okay, but not an entire town of them. Okay, so anyway, I wanted to give Barb a shout out, and that is awesome. Thank you for messaging us.
Cool. Well,
you're officially a cool person.
We're gonna do Better Know a Listener.
I'm excited for it.
It's not in Canada this time.
Oh, okay.
Because you just talked about Canada. So.
All right.
No, we're going back to South Carolina.
Okay.
It's a little city called Greer in South Carolina.
Greer, okay.
Greer. It was founded and named for James Manning Greer, who was his ancestry traces back to Scotland and Ireland, so that seemed kind of like a cool
dude. Well, Greer, I actually had a friend in university whose name was Greer, like her first name. And she was like very Scottish-Irish looking and obviously had that background.
The area was actually first surveyed by the Europeans, I guess, by his ancestor, John Greer Sr.
John Greer Sr., okay.
In 1750.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's a long time ago.
That was a long time ago.
Long, long time ago.
In a galaxy far away.
No. Just in South Carolina.
Just Carolina, okay.
Yeah. They have a BMW manufacturing plant.
Okay.
They're known
for... So this is like a pretty big place then.
Actually, no. It's pretty small.
Oh.
It's only a population of 42,000 as of 2022.
Okay, that isn't
it's
very
pretty,
big. Yeah.
Pretty small. Like, smaller than our nearest city, which is not...
Very big.
Not a big... I wouldn't classify that as a big... Especially in the States, 42,000 would be considered a very small city.
Right, yeah.
It's in the Greenville and Spartanburg counties. Spartanburg. Ooh, ooh. Yeah.
You know what? It's funny you say that. So I was on Instagram, because of course I was, and there's a reel that I found that had a, like, hip-hop remix to the DuckTales theme song, but then I listened to it, so then of course it messed with the algorithm, so then I heard it like 8 more times, like all the reels using it. So then in my head for like all morning I could hear DuckTales.
Ooh, ooh.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. It became like a major railroad hub in the early 1900s.
Wait, so this means it's not by water?
I think there's a small port well. I mean, it's South Carolina. They have a lot of rivers, inlets and stuff like that. But this brings me back to my good old days, speaking of nerd things, playing Railroad Tycoon.
Okay.
Where you'd set up a little railway depot.
And I never really played Railroad Tycoon. I played Roller Coaster Tycoon.
Right, yeah. No, Railroad Tycoon was a little older than that. Mm-hmm. But it's... was a big railroad hub, so they shipped a lot of like cotton and textiles out of there, as well as peach crops.
Oh, I guess they would, right?
And stuff like that. So pretty cool.
Did they have millions of peaches? Peaches for me?
Probably, yeah. It's on the tail end of Interstate 85.
Okay. Yeah.
And that's...
It's a very cool name.
In the 70s, the importing industry, like from China and whatnot, probably, threatened to turn Greer into a ghost town. But they work to attract a new industry, and it doesn't really say what that new industry was.
Oh.
Who knows?
Okay, but if you're from Greer, you can message us and tell
us. Peaches. Hopefully it was
peaches. I hope it was peaches.
It was like, yeah.
I hope so, because peaches are awesome, and we don't have them here. Unless we ship them in, of course.
Well, we do have some peaches, like, 4 hours down the road. And,
that's true.
And, like, Creston
that is true.
Stuff.
They have peaches
they
there.
They have pretty good, mm-hmm. pretty good peaches.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty good peaches. Notable people.
Okay.
From Greer.
Oh, okay.
I don't recognize any of these people, but
I was like, is it the guy named Greer that it was named after?
No.
Because that's pretty notable.
You got Chris Burton, who played for the Harlem Globetrotters.
Oh, that's cool.
And he was the 1994 NCAA dunk champion.
Oh. That's cool.
Okay. Bill Haas, PGA golfer.
Mm-hmm.
Jay Haas, also a PGA golfer. I bet they're related.
I bet they are. I bet that's a family thing.
Kaylee Kurtz played for the National Women's Soccer League.
Hmm. Well, you got some athletes in
yeah,
here.
Yeah, so like a pretty athletic little city. This is a small city.
Yeah.
That's high end athletes.
Yeah.
And including Daniel Pelka. Pelka.
Mm-hmm.
He played for the Chicago White Sox.
Oh, hey. And varied athletes.
Yeah.
You know, like sometimes in a smaller place, it'll be like...
Yeah, like a specific sport.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, you got basketball, you got golf, you got baseball, and you got soccer. That's pretty
cool.
good. Pretty
that's
good. Cool. Go All Greer. Right.
Go Greer. Hello, people from Greer. Message us and tell us what your industry was replaced with.
Yeah. This is from Wikipedia, so I'm doing the best I can here, okay? I'm sorry.
Enough. No, it's all good. I like it. Main topic?
Disney Plus and chill.
I gotta get in the mood. Hair flip!
Well,
this episode is named Loki Hair Flip, by the way.
Okay, good. He does do a lot of hair flipping. I was wondering why you were bending over so much. Oh, that's so good. Okay.
I don't look as good as Tom Hiddleston doing the hair flip.
No one does.
But it is would be very difficult to do that. So I did my best.
Yeah, it was good. It was impressive.
Loki hair flip.
It was a valiant attempt. Okay. Let's do a rundown of the episodes for the overall.
The overall or the episodes?
Let's do the overall. I'm gonna how detailed.
Let's
do
the episodes first.
Oh,
how about that?
Okay.
Because then that can lead into the overall talk.
So there are six episodes. The first one is called Ouroboros.
Let's start it this way.
Okay.
Did you like it?
Yes. Did you?
I liked it very much.
Okay.
It's not your typical MCU fare. I had to sit with it for a little while and think about what I felt about it.
Mm-hmm. You wouldn't tell me.
And then I also saved it for this, but I was very excited for Loki season one, and I liked that, but I was also kind of disappointed because it was good, but also kind of left me wanting more.
We called it exposition.
Yeah, and there was a lot of exposition. There was a lot of exposition in this one too. But it kind of tied it all, it's all self together and also saved season one because it all worked together. It might make Loki as a package some of my favorite Marvel.
Yep, I'm not disappointed in that.
Anything.
If I put season one and season two together, it is definitely far and away my second favorite MCU thing. And I think Loki is my second favorite MCU character.
Hmm.
There's no touching.
You're talking WandaVision.
There's no touching WandaVision.
WandaVision was very good and a tight product in and of itself. But this, I don't know.
I have no problem with you saying this.
It was just very poetic. There's no other way to put it. Before we go through the end.
You said it's poetic, and I just want to say one thing. Tom Hiddleston has said that he models Loki as a character, at least when he started, after a very specific character in King Lear by Shakespeare.
Okay.
Yeah, Edmund the Bastard, who is he's like the second son, and he's also a bastard son. Like, literally, that's his name. And so, even though he's, you know, been acknowledged by his father and everything, he feels like he's smarter and should have equal share of the birthright. And then he actually betrays other people to try and get that.
Gotcha.
But then at the very end, he has, like, when he, as he's dying, he has, like, a change of, basically his conscience catches up to him and he starts confessing things. He also is a bit of a ladies' man.
Okay.
He sleeps with two sisters at the same time kind of thing. It's cool. It's very Shakespearean, right? And at least at the beginning, Hiddleston said that that was kind of his, one of his main inspirations for the way he portrayed Loki.
That's very interesting because, of course, the first Thor film was directed by Kenneth Branagh, who was big into Shakespeare as well.
It's very possible that's when he said it, actually.
Yeah, kind of playing off each other that way. So it's very interesting.
I mean, Tom Hiddleston is classically trained.
Yes, of course, yeah.
Yeah, and he's a very poetic man. Yes, I like Loki. I like Tom Hiddleston and everything.
You'd probably like to read his poetry in Braille.
Oh my god. That was really funny. I mean, yeah. I probably should cut that out.
No, that was a good joke.
Okay.
Leave it in.
Okay. So, this takes place immediately after the events of season one. And so we left...
Immediately. Yeah.
So we left season one with Sylvie having just killed He Who Remains after shoving Loki through a time door.
Yes.
And he ends up back at the TVA and he sees Mobius and
B-15.
That's right. Mm-hmm. B-15. And he starts talking to them and he's like trying to warn them and they have no idea who he is. And then he looks and he sees a statue of He Who Remains. So when we left that, I thought this was like in the future. Or maybe not even in the future, but like that event had happened because I understood that the end of time, right? Like that was, it was removed from time. So it like had an effect on the timeline.
Yeah. You weren't sure like
when it was.
I mean, it's timey wimey stuff. So who knows what's going on? They can make up their own rules. It doesn't matter.
Totally. So, this takes place immediately after that. Like our second shot is Loki running down the hall away from them, trying to chase him because they're like, who the heck are you kind of thing.
Now they're going to prune his butt.
Yep. So season one is called Ouroboros, and Loki finds himself lost to time and torn quite literally between past, present, and future. There's a couple funny moments in this one.
Torn is the operative word there.
Yes. It looks terrible.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But we also meet someone named Ouroboros, or Obi, as he becomes known, and he's wonderful in every way.
And he's played by...
Name I can't pronounce.
Ki-Hui Kwan.
I'm always like, Kwan!
Short round.
Yes, yes. Who just won an Oscar for his work in Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Which ties in perfectly to this because it's very...
It suits it.
Multiversal.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah. Anyway, he's awesome in this.
We're all gonna die! We're still all
actually
gonna die.
Everyone in this
everyone
season
is amazing.
Everyone is very good.
Mm-hmm. So good. So we meet him, and I just wanted to say Ouroboros is like, if you don't know, that is a reference to something specific.
Well, it's like the ancient, is it Greek mythology?
Maybe.
Something? But basically, it refers to a snake eating its own tail, and it's like a. It's an allegory for, like, a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yes, yeah. So that's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Which is very key to this whole season, basically, yeah.
Yeah, and it's often shown as signs of infinity, and yeah. And there's a lot. Oh, it's so cool, because there's stuff from our first introduction to Loki that then comes literally full circle that we see by the end of this season.
Yeah.
But before we get to that, episode 2 is called Breaking Brad.
Well, okay,
great
so,
name.
So episode 1, like, you talked about it, he's being torn, he's time slipping.
Oh, yes.
You didn't mention
that
at all.
I didn't really talk about it at all. So that's what the being torn is he's time slipping, and he keeps jumping back and forth.
Through a bunch of different time periods in the TVA.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks very painful, and he keeps, like, running into people he knows, and they don't know who he is, because it's a different time.
But sometimes they do
Sometimes they do, and then it's all that. And
yeah,
then,
so yeah. He doesn't really know where he is, or no, he knows, doesn't know when he is, or if the people around him do or do not know him. And then every time he starts to talk to them, he's like very physically painfully
and,
torn.
And that's kind of like the incident, like the inciting incident of this mm-hmm. episode. He's trying to solve that with the help of his friends that do know him as he's slipping through time that he can't control.
And sometimes running into his friends that don't know him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the episode that ends with him getting pruned again.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Yeah. I think so. He goes to, there's a countdown, right? And Mobius is actually risking his life to do something to try and pull Loki basically out of the slipping and to center him. And the only way this works is if he, like, he has a set amount of time where this has to be accomplished by.
They have, like, the time way is all splintering and stuff, and they have, like, a tether for it.
Yes.
And Loki has to be pruned at the right moment to get attached to the tether. Mm-hmm. It's, I don't know. It's
but you also have a great word called spaghettification.
Yeah, the spaghettification sounds really bad.
It sounds really bad, yeah. Yeah.
Well, we might find out about that a little later.
Probably if it is indeed bad or not. Yeah,
I don't know.
Probably. You turn into spaghetti.
But anyway, it works out, and Loki's pruned at the right time somehow.
Somehow.
There's some problems.
Just as we see Sylvie.
Mm-hmm.
There's an elevator door, and there's a phone ringing, and it's all like...
It felt very Matrix-y, actually.
It did
actually.
Feel very Matrix-y, and as it's all going on, he's pruned.
Pruned.
Mm-hmm. So... Interesting. So he is pulled out of this slipping.
So he's not slipping.
He's not slipping. In episode 2, Breaking Brad.
great title.
Excellent title name, by the way.
This
was, the weak point of the season.
It wasn't the episode's fault because there was a lot of cool moments in the episode.
Yep.
They deleted an episode, I swear.
Or half an episode or something.
I swear, like, something was wrong because the internet, my own brain, and a couple people I talked to were like, did I miss an episode?
Literally, of mine who we talk about these episodes with, like casually, but whatever, texted me and was like, did I miss something? I'm like, thank you. Yeah. And that was in our initial gut reaction, too.
I don't know what was going on there. There was definitely some missing, something was missing to lead into this because it didn't make a whole lot of sense.
And you were being asked to care about characters you had briefly seen before, if at all.
Well, no, Brad, the hunter,
yeah.
X15, X5,
whatever.
I don't know, it doesn't matter. They're hunting him
mm-hmm.
in a timeline, but like you have just saved Loki from time slipping, but there was no transition between the two.
Weird.
No sense, but you got to see Loki being real cool and
menacing. That was really cool.
And
that was like
almost villainous again.
Great moment.
Very cool. And
essentially, they're trying to find Sylvie at this point.
Yeah, and there's some like rogue hunters that are trying to prune
mm-hmm.
The rogue time ways like they used to.
Yeah.
Even though they had agreed to not, and so all that going on as well.
Which, man, again, episode. There could have been an episode here.
You could have had another episode.
Yeah, you
one
can make
more
it a
episode.
You can make it 7 episodes. You're fine. I promise.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that was weird, but Loki being menacing and villainous was
the
weirdness.
Using his super cool magic again.
Oh, yeah.
Like, no, that was very cool.
Yeah, we didn't see a whole lot of that this season, except in this episode, and a little bit in the next one too. But yeah, so this was weird, but some great moments in it. We also got introduced to those cubes.
That's true. That's how they
torture.
So they capture the hunter and they take him to the torture chamber, and man, the TVA is messed up.
Yeah.
They prune people out of existence all the time, and then they have a torture chamber for some reason where you get trapped in a non-gelatinous cube.
Mm-hmm.
If you play D&D, it's not mm-hmm. non-gelatinous, and they can squish you into nothingness, apparently, and it's very messed up.
Yeah, it's pretty...
There's a grate on the floor, because what happens after you get squished into goo is that they need a grate in the floor.
It's very disturbing. Yeah, very disturbing.
I guess you're kind of seeing an insight into how horrible a person Kang is. That's why we don't like him.
I guess so. The next episode is probably the most unique episode. It was done in a lot of shots and stuff like that, and that is 1893. And that is, the synopsis is, Loki and Mobius go on the hunt to find everyone's favorite cartoon clock as they try to save the TVA. Favorite's a strong word.
I kind of like her, and also am so very, like, terrified.
Yeah. Ditto in all ways. Mm-hmm. Like, and if you didn't think she was the villain previous to this season, oh, man, there is, like, no doubt left. So
if you want to think about it in terms of, like, cinematic history, like, He Who Remains is your Emperor Palpatine, who's, like, controlling, has an overall plan, and Miss Minutes is, like, Darth Maul, who just angry and wants to stab things.
But does it in a happy cartoon voice, y'all.
Yeah, and that makes it even creepier. Even
more terrifying. Yeah. Like, so scary. And she's terrifying.
And she's also a little bit horny. Just a little bit.
We find that out in this episode, too.
Yeah. Is it this episode? I don't know. It is. She's just a little... She just wants to feel the human touch, apparently. I don't know.
Maybe it's the next episode. It's one of these episodes, anyway. So they go back in time, and Miss Minutes is with...
Renslayer.
Yes, I was...
Ramona Renslayer. Ramona
Renslayer, who was the...
She was a judge. Back in season one, and they had a disagreement with her, and she pruned Loki.
Yeah. And Mobius, I think, too.
Yeah.
And anyway, so they're together, and they give a book of... This book is very important. It was written by OB, and it is the, like, manual for the TVA.
You know, you can buy a journal or, like, a notebook that has that cover now.
I kind of want one.
Online, yeah.
That should be my next year's journal.
Yeah, it's like a little orange TVA handbook cover, just like with blank pages inside.
Yeah, you can give me one. That can be my journal next year.
It's probably very expensive. Probably. I just saw an ad for it.
Of course you get one. So they drop one of those in through the window of a little boy who's making candles.
In, like, 1894 Chicago or something. I don't remember what the actual date
It
would have
been before that, because then we move ahead to 1893. Oh, Chicago, okay. World's, okay. Fair.
The World's Fair is in 1893, so it was probably, like, in 20 years before that, or something like that.
And we're at Chicago World's Fair, and this is where Loki and Mobius actually show up as well. Because they're trying to track down
they first go back to the same time period where the book was dropped originally, but they can't figure anything out.
Yeah, they're like, nothing, like, special's going on right now.
There's a barn over there. Okay, yeah,
so confused. Mm-hmm. So they move ahead, mm-hmm, and to the World's Fair, and this is the World's Fair where you have, like, Tesla, and
it's a big World's Fair.
Yes. And the murder hotel. Yeah. And
Holmes, murder. I kind of wish they had gone into this. The thing about Loki is they touched on some interesting historical mysteries. We have one coming out later in another episode this season.
But I wish they did it more.
In season one, they had the DB Cooper thing where Loki was actually DB Cooper, and I love that.
That was amazing.
I wish they did. I was hoping they would do more of that.
Me too. I think that's the one thing I can fault it with.
Just a touch of it.
You could have done Holmes very easily here.
It would have worked out really well.
Yeah. So I totally agree. There's some great mysteries. The DB Cooper thing,
like,
was great.
Miss Minutes could have, like, possessed someone and become H.H. Holmes. Like, sure. It would have worked. Yeah, totally. I don't know. It would
have been in her realm, honestly. The other one they do later, though, is really good. I like that.
Yes.
So, no, just do it more. So, and then there they meet Victor Timely. Now, we actually saw a clip of this at the end of, I think it was Ant-Man.
It was Ant-Man.
Quantumania.
Yeah.
This was, like, the after credits thing. So we see that again in a little bit more. Victor Timely, what did you think of him?
Okay, so here's where we're going to separate the art from the artist.
Yes.
Jonathan Majors can act his ass off, because he's played Kang, or variants of Kang, three different times. You've had Kang the Conqueror in Ant-Man Quantumania. You've had He Who Remains in Loki Season 1, and spoiler alert, later Victor in Season 2.
Yeah.
And Victor Timely.
Now.
And they're all completely, like, crazily different.
But yet overlap in some ways.
Yeah, like,
It makes me really sad because he is doing so many amazing things with this character. These characters.
When I first heard that they were going to focus on Kang, I was like, that sounds dumb. I've never really heard of him. And I don't know. It doesn't seem like a very menacing villain.
You really wanted to go Dr. Doom.
Yes. And a lot of people still do. Mm-hmm. That's what how they want to fix this whole thing. Anyway, that's beside the point. I can see how this would work because he's
amazing.
He's doing all these characters in like a different way and they're all very different. And Victor, like you root for Victor Timely.
I love Victor Timely.
He seems like a nice guy, even though he's kind of a con man.
He's kind of a con man, and he's kind of like, he pulls a jerk move on Renslayer and stuff. I mean, that was definitely under Miss Minutes' tutelage, of course. But he's not a 100% good guy.
He's like chaotic neutral, what I would say.
Yeah, that's fair. Or, I don't know, he might even be chaotic good, quite frankly.
I would say neutral because he's like for himself.
He is. That's fair. But he's like, oh man, I loved Victor Timely.
Yes, and he's played very interestingly because he's confident in himself, but he has this stutter which makes him seem unconfident as well.
Yeah, and he's a con man, which actually works with a stutter because people underestimate him. Unassuming. But he knows that, and so he uses that to his advantage. But he still doesn't like his stutter. It is so interesting. He ends up having a little bit of a crush on Renslayer, but then when she's like, oh, we're going to be great.
I mean, she is very good looking.
Fair enough. Yeah. But he has this thing where he doesn't do partners, and so when she says, oh, and this will be a great partnership, then all of a sudden he pulls away. He's such an interesting character, but you root for him.
Kang doesn't do partners. No Kang variant does partners.
Exactly. There's an interesting thoroughfare there.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's a good through line. And then you have Sylvie coming in and saying, I'm going to kill all Kangs.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yep. And then you also have some great Loki versus Sylvie moments, kind of.
Yeah, because
in this one too.
Loki wants to. So the whole reason that they're looking for they were kind of following Miss Minutes and Renslayer, but they're having a problem back at the TVA where the whole temporal area and the center of the TVA is going to explode.
Yeah, that's bad.
As Ouroboros put it, we're all going to die.
And then every time you try to fix something, it doesn't work. And then we're still all going to die.
We're still all going to die. So that's bad, but they can't even get in there to fix it without the temporal aura of He Who Remains, who is of course dead. But his variant is not, and they would have the same temporal aura.
Right. So when they see him, they're like, "Wait, this would work."
This would work. Yeah.
So basically, you have three different groups trying to chase down Victor Timely, and he's just like, "I'm just trying to like."
He's like, "I didn't ask to be a MacGuffin."
Yeah. Well, and he has like a little side hustle. Well, not even a side hustle. He has a hustle going on in one of the side area display areas about electricity. And you find out he's been using the information from his TVA handbook and inventing things. And it's just like, I don't
very,
have.
Very Tesla-like.
Very Tesla-like. Stuff. But you actually find out he's actually very intelligent.
Mm-hmm.
Later, OB says that he would have been bigger than Einstein, but the technology hadn't.
If he had the resources, yeah.
Yeah, and didn't.
And then you have the interesting, again, an Ouroboros snake eating its own tail, chicken in the egg thing, where Victor Timely's ideas are spurred on by the TVA handbook, which is written by Ouroboros. But Ouroboros studied under Victor Timely originally, so it's this whole weird thing going on. It's very cool.
They meet each other later in the season, and it's like a very cool moment.
Episode.
So Loki is trying to defend Timely from Sylvie. Sylvie is trying to kill him. Loki does get, and Miss Minutes and Renslayer are trying to like basically steal him. So Loki does kind of get through to Sylvie though. Well, actually, Timely kind of gets through to her.
Yeah, so Loki's trying to defend Victor Timely. He's fighting Sylvie, but of course, he's not trying his hardest because he doesn't want to hurt Sylvie.
No, it's literally just defense.
He loves himself.
Yeah.
A lot. And especially when it's in a nice female form, I guess. I don't know.
I don't think the form would matter.
Yeah, no, yeah, Probably not. No, he
attractive form for him. It doesn't matter if it's female or male.
And so that doesn't go very well. And Sylvie basically kicks his butt and has her sword out ready to stab Victor Timely. And he says some stuff that like makes her reconsider. And it's like he doesn't know what she's talking about. He wants to make his own choices. And then she's like, wait, that's exactly what I want.
Yeah, exactly. Like, he says exactly the right thing, because she understands. She's like, oh, he has no choice, just like I have no choice. Yeah, so that happens. So then she basically says, you know, Timely can go with Loki. And she has been working at a McDonald's in the 80s and just wants to stay there. She's very happy there.
She wants to eat all the McNuggets.
Yep.
Just invented.
Yep, it's true. But we also have Miss Minutes at her second most terrifying, I think, of this whole season. And that is when we find out that she was actually invented as a clock to play chess with by He Who Remains. And then she became...
like sentient. Actual sentient artificial intelligence.
She convinces him to kind of like abandon Renslayer. Literally, they cut her off a life raft into a life raft, leave her floating in the ocean.
I think it's the whatever rivers by in between Chicago and
That's right, because it's by Chicago. Yeah. Mm-hmm, that's right.
But it was a riverboat anyway. They're on a riverboat.
Yes, and she says what she really wants is for him to make her like a human form.
She wants to be Vision Part 2 is what she wants.
Yes. Yeah. And then she says because then he could touch her and she could touch him, and
cuz she wants to
I was doing a
She-Hulk reference.
Yeah. I was doing a She-Hulk reference.
Yeah, come on.
It was good. I liked it. That's what I realized. That's what I was like, "Oh." But then and she says because, she like superimposes her head onto a mannequin. It's really creepy.
And super creepy. Yes, I agree. It's the second most creepy thing she does.
Yeah. Second most creepy, which tells you how creepy the next thing is. The other thing that she does is, oh my God. But she, and then he is like panicking cause this is terrifying. And he's also like a fairly decent human, kinda. And she's saying, but I love you. He cuts her off.
Yeah, puts her back in the temp pad, locks her up.
Yeah.
And then the crew gets back together. They do the whole thing with Victor Timely, and Sylvie decides to not kill him. But they have this whole B plot going on with the rogue hunters. Mm-hmm. They're going to do a bunch of prune bombs on like all the timelines. Mm-hmm. And of course Sylvie doesn't want this, cuz she's living on a
of course
side timeline, just being happy. So they do a big battle with all the rogue hunters. Mm-hmm. and stop their plans. Mm-hmm. And put them in jail.
Yeah,
believe it or not, straight to jail.
Yep. Straight to jail. Episode 4 is called The Heart of the TVA, and this one is the Loom is nearing a catastrophic failure. But Loki, Mobius, and Sylvie have a He Who Remains variant. And we're going to talk about this episode, but it has the craziest ending. Just the craziest ending. It's the craziest ending.
It's crazy.
Okay. So they get back to the TVA. What happens?
Well, I mean...
this is also where you have the OB. I think that's one of the first things. OB meeting.
Yeah, you have OB meeting Timely, and they're like, you're my hero. And, oh, you're my hero. Yeah. Like... again, it's kind of weird, timey-wimey stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's tough to comprehend, but you just have to roll with it.
Yeah, that's kind of it. You try and understand it enough to kind of get it, and then just let it go.
The points don't matter. Whose line is it anyway?
Exactly. All right. So what else goes on in this?
Well, you have the TVA trying to figure out their life as well.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, there's a big catastrophe going on, and they're like, we kind of need all hands on deck.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And they have these trapped hunters that were foiled. Their plan was foiled, but they're still loyal to the TVA. They want the best for the TVA, and the TVA is about to blow up. So they're like, maybe we can talk to these guys and maybe make them not be super crazy, and they can help us in this time of need, and then
we might be able to reason with them in that what we're trying to do is also trying to save the
TVA. So B-15 goes to talk to the leader. Mm-hmm.
Who's awesome, by the way.
That actress, you know, from Game of Thrones.
And Austin Powers.
No, Game of Thrones. I know who you're thinking of.
Really?
I don't think that's the same actress. I don't think that's... She kind of look... They look similar. I know who you're talking about.
Okay. No, anyway.
She's from Game of Thrones.
But yes, she is.
She's the sister to Catelyn Stark.
Who lives in the
Eyrie, and she has the little boy that
with the moon door.
The moon door and the breastfeeding that's way too old.
Yeah.
Anyway.
The moon door.
Very cool actress, and she gets to use her full Scottish accent in this.
Yeah,
it's
great.
It's very cool.
Mm-hmm.
And so they go to try and reason with them, and they're like, well, I don't know, we'll see.
They think about it.
They think about it, and they leave, and then shortly after that, you have Renslayer and Miss Minutes, who are still on the loose now together, because they're both now mad at Victor Timely.
We missed the ending of the episode where they reunite.
Ah, yes. So,
yes.
So Renslayer was cut loose, and Miss Minutes was cut loose, so then they kind of reconnect.
The end of time, where they in front of He Who Remains corpse, because Sylvie prunes Renslayer.
Right. So they go to because of course we didn't mention that Sylvie has the like all empowered tempad from He Who Remains.
Yeah. So sorry, she doesn't prune her. She literally
she gets pruned at the end of the season.
Yeah. She says, I understand. I see you want to be around still at the end of the world. Well, here you go, basically, and sends her there.
And so they're both there. Miss Minutes is there, and she's like, wait, I want to show you something.
Yeah, she's like, and you're going to be mad, she says. And then, do we see that episode, what's going on?
I don't remember. It doesn't matter. But you basically see where Renslayer and He Who Remains were like partners.
Yeah.
But of course, He Who Remains doesn't do partners. So that's when he wipes everyone's memories. Once they've won the multiversal war with a bunch of help from Renslayer, apparently.
Yeah, apparently she was like in charge of the armies.
Yeah,
and stuff
she's
like
the general and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And they were supposed to rule together. They had two thrones and everything. Yep. And he's like, no, I don't do that.
Yeah. Oh man. Bad move, dude.
Yeah.
But Miss Minutes remembers because she was not.
Yeah, she wasn't. Her memory wasn't wiped, and she's like, she wanted to sit on one of them thrones, kind of thing, and she was okay with it until he cut her loose too, and now they are both out for revenge.
The enemy of my enemy is my friend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Scorned women, like hell hath no fury,
exactly.
Kind of thing, right?
So they've now reconnected, and they have moved to the TVA. To talk to these hunters. Okay, we caught back up.
They pour it into the torture room.
Mm-hmm.
Not a great place to be.
Nope.
So they're like, hey, do you want to go take over the TVA and run it in a good way? And they're like, nah, we'll pass. And then Miss Minutes is like, okay.
Except Brad.
Yeah, except Brad, the hunter that they found before.
Yeah.
He was new this season, by the way. It didn't feel like he was new, but he was new.
He was new.
And they're all like, nah, we wanted to do our own thing. And you guys are crazy. We're not in for the crazy.
Yeah.
And so Miss Minutes jumps in and turns on the torture machine.
Yep.
And mushes them all like bugs.
Yeah,
and
together.
And it sounds horrifying.
And you watch.
All you can see is Brad's eyes, and he can't look at it.
He looks once, and he like winces and looks away. But that's not the only thing you can see, because you see Renslayer just watching very stoically. But you see Miss Minutes behind her.
Just basically having the time of her friggin' life.
She is so excited to watch them be tortured to death in this horrific, horrific
way.
Yeah,
so this is the most horrifying thing that
Miss
Minutes ever does.
Totally
she's like,
agree.
She's like, yes, torture, finally!
She's literally like,
giddy.
Yeah, it is like, really concerning. Very concerning. So, there's that.
Miss Minutes is chaotic evil.
Yes, there's that. That happens. So Brad has like some problems, but he's kind of like watched his workers and friends and boss and everyone just get horribly murdered. So he goes with them. B-15 comes back in a little while and is just...
Well, all there is a puddle on the ground.
Yeah.
That's leaking
that's
through the grate.
That's steaming still.
Yeah. Well, you can hear the steam.
Yeah. It's unpleasant.
They never show it, thank goodness,
because
like, oh.
Yeah, it sounds terrible. And the reactions, again, man, what a cast, right?
Yeah, so many good actors.
So good. And she's just, it's grotesque and she's horrified. So meanwhile, we have Obi, Victor Timely, Mobius, Loki, and Sylvie joins them.
She's, like, annoyed about it. She doesn't want to save the TVA. She wants to save the timelines.
Yes.
So it's
Yeah, so she joins them. So she's there. Like, she's not necessarily, like, joining in, but she's kind of monitoring, if nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly think she's, like, just ready to kill Timely if there's a problem.
Yeah, she's like, is he going to become He Remains? Because, like, I will stab a bee right in the face.
Right. So they're kind of there, and they are working to try and figure out what the heck is going on with to save the loom. The loom, yes.
Yeah. It's the temporal loom, which is a funny name for
things. But someone has to get into the same kind of situation that Mobius was in episode one and run down the plank very, very quickly and install this device, and
We saw it happen in episode one. He was in his thing. They had the duct tape. And
it's totally fine.
And it, like, his suit was starting to melt, but it was fine because they got the tether.
Because it was episode one.
And everything was fine.
And so they're kind of debating on who is going to go. And Timely says it has to be him, because in case something goes wrong, he has, like, he might be able to fix it, kind of thing. Okay, so, and plus he also says, like, he's not part of this timeline, so.
Well, yeah, so before we got to that, though, Miss Minutes and Renslayer and B-15 had actually captured Victor Timely.
Oh, yes. I jumped way ahead.
You jumped ahead a little bit.
Ending.
Victor Timely really wanted a hot chocolate from the hot chocolate machine because he was, like, fascinated that there could be a machine that would make hot chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
And so he goes and does that, and they capture him from there.
This is a really cool character trait. He really likes sweet stuff. He likes sugar, remember? And he likes,
And technology, so it's like kind of like.
Oh, so good.
Anyway.
And actually, the guy who pruned, he was involved in the pruning, or the capture, or the arrest, or something of Mobius before, is the one who, like, is on their side now, and he takes him to go get the hot chocolate, and Brad prunes him,
mm-hmm.
and then captures Timely.
And so they're kind of sitting in the boardroom being all like, yeah, we're going to do this. And I think Brad goes out to go prune some more people,
mm-hmm.
and they figure out how to turn off the magic dampener, which is very important because you have two pretty good wizard gods of mischief. They're gonna do some mischief, and they can do that now.
Yes,
and
but you also have this cool thing where they're trying to, like, because they're trying to catch up with Timely, and it's another cool moment where Loki sees himself at the elevator, and the phone starts ringing, and Sylvie's in the elevator. He was with her, and they got separated. Miss Minutes was messing with all the controls, basically.
Yeah.
To separate them. And so Miss Minutes had locked Sylvie in the
elevator.
And so he's, like, watching himself try and, like,
there's a Loki walking down the hallway, and Sylvie's prying open the door, and she's like, oh, there you are. And it's, of course, episode one.
Yeah, but, and he's like, no one is pruning this Loki that needs to be pruned
now. He has to prune himself.
So he prunes himself.
And that saves him from, that saves, again, an Ouroboros thing.
Yeah.
Saves himself in episode one.
Yeah.
And then they answer the phone, and then it's a very Jurassic Park moment where they're like, we need to turn off the power and do a full reset on the phone. There's a couple of Jurassic Park references in this thing because Miss Minutes pops up on the temp pad with the
Yeah, exactly. Very Ned.
So, yes, Nedry. You're
Nedry,
thinking,
Nedry,
yeah.
Nedry.
So that's pretty cool. There's that whole time loop thing as well. There's a few time loops in this. It's very time loopy. Kind of tough to track if you think too hard about it.
Yeah,
but you just gotta let it go. Just let it go.
We gotta speed her up though. We're not even done episode four.
So they're going to go rescue Victor Timely from the bad guys, and Sylvie actually mind controls Brad.
Yeah, that's funny.
And he gets to impersonate, like,
the
actor gets to pretend he's Sylvie because it's like a mind control thing, and it's very funny. And that's when Renslayer gets pruned.
That's
because,
right.
Because, yeah.
It's Shelby. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so they save him, and they go back, and they have this whole big plan about how they're gonna put in the loom expander and blah 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 blah, and someone has to wear the suit, and now,
Victor, it's time
now,
to be brave.
Now Timely thinks he's like, yeah, I'm gonna be the hero now.
It's such a great moment.
I'm gonna do it, and we're like, yeah, this is gonna be really cool. And he puts on the suit and he starts running out, and then
immediate. Spaghettification.
Wilhelm scream. Basically.
Yeah.
It's
spaghettification.
It's full on spaghettification, which they had talked about. And yeah, it looks very, very, very painful.
It is unpleasant to see. Also interesting.
Because he has time to scream,
mm-hmm.
literally, and you see his, like, the skin peeling off him.
Yeah.
It's very, like other MCU things, it's very similar to the Ant-Man quantum thing where his giant person...
That's the closest, I think.
The giant one came apart like that.
Yeah.
And then in Multiverse of Madness when Wanda absolutely destroyed Mr. Fantastic, which was very sad.
It's
R.I.P. John Krasinski.
Yeah, it's
probably not coming back as Mr. Fantastic.
Probably not.
Actually, that was the news that I didn't talk about. Sidebar, Mr. Fantastic.
Okay.
Let me just casting rumor for the Fantastic Four film.
Oh, there's a new one.
For Mr. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Pedro Pascal.
Oh.
I don't know what I think. I love me some Pedro Pascal. I don't know if I see him as a Mr. Fantastic.
Pedro Pascal can do anything.
I mean, he could probably do it justice. He could get some salt and pepper in his hair, and I don't know.
We'll see.
Anyway, yeah. Anyway, so there's been some spaghettification before. This was like shocking, though.
Yeah. It was shocking. I think I literally gasped. So then the radiation's just too strong, and everyone has a moment to look at it.
We have an Oppenheimer moment where the thing's blowing up and everyone's looking at it, and
then we zoom in on Loki's eyes,
and he's got like a little bit of tears going on,
and
like beautiful green eyes.
Yeah. As everything implodes and it goes completely black and silent and everything ends.
And you're like, when things go black, it's like the end of Sopranos and everyone's dead.
Yeah, basically. So that was the end of episode 4.
You never watched Sopranos.
No, but I know this reference. Yeah, I understand this reference. Episode 5 is super cool. We're going to run through this a little bit quicker, even though this is like really good stuff. Science/fiction. Not science fiction as one thing.
Science/fiction.
Like either or.
Yeah, and so Loki survives the explosion because he's back to time slipping.
Yes, basically this has jarred him back into time slipping again, this explosion. So he ends up jumping dying timelines. Yeah, dying timelines where all of his friends...
So, like, first of all, he's in the TVA and it's, like, completely empty.
Yes.
And he's like, randomly time-slipping. And then he starts slipping into other branched timelines where his friends are from.
Mm-hmm.
And he keeps slipping, like, directly to where they are.
Yeah.
So, he's drawn to them.
Yes. So let's talk about where he finds them. He finds Mobius as someone selling jet skis.
Yes, which is, Mobius is obsessed with jet skis, and he used to be a jet ski, Sea-Doo salesman.
Yeah, that's true.
Sea-Doo
salesman, which Mobius is very clear to point out in an earlier episode that they're not the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a single dad to twin boys.
I feel like there's someone who could use twin boys that... Needs some children?
Yeah, I feel like.
Yeah.
I feel like there's someone looking
like
for
like an adoptive mother or something?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah,
maybe,
I don't
maybe
know. Anyway.
Powerful. She would protect the heck out of those kids.
he also meets up with Ouroboros, who's a failing fiction author,
mm-hmm.
which is a big thing. What's his name in real life? Like, in... his real timeline, I forget.
You don't know?
Oh, yeah. It was A.D. Doug or something.
A.D. Doug.
It's
Doug A.D.
We figure
It's Douglas Adams.
It's a reference to Douglas Adams with like all this like zany, multiversal time tripping stuff. There's a lot of Douglas Adams feel to Loki as well.
And then he meets
B-15 is a doctor in 2012 in New York. Pediatrician in New York. A lot of people were expecting to have some Battle of New York stuff going on.
Because it's the right year for it.
It's 2012 is the Battle of New York, but honestly, that was one, it was like 3 hours.
And we're all in different times as well, that,
it's a branch timeline, so who knows if there's even
a Battle of New York,
in that branch timeline.
But there is, there is one interesting history blip. And that is, he ends up on Alcatraz.
And we meet the unassuming janitor, who's actually a hardened criminal that was locked up in Alcatraz.
He wasn't a janitor. He was like a, just a general desk employee.
Like a clerk.
Yeah.
He was also a janitor. He was like mopping the floors and stuff.
Yeah, I think he was just doing that, yeah.
Anyway, like a minor side administrative employee that no one liked or cared about.
No one noticed him. Yeah. But actually...
Yeah, he is a hardened criminal, locked up in Alcatraz, and he's one of the famous three escapees who set foot on their, like, handmade raft and were never seen again. Everyone thinks they drowned, and they probably did, because, like...
But it's cooler...
The San Francisco Bay is not a place where you want to be on a handmade raft. No. It's not a safe body
but
of water.
But it's far cooler if one was taken by the TVA.
Yeah. I like this alternate history stuff.
Especially for him. It's so bizarre.
Yeah, very funny.
So he kind of meets them all.
And he gives Ouroboros, in his fiction writer form, the TVA handbook and tells him about all this alternate history stuff. And he's
nobody knows who he is here.
Except Sylvie. Sylvie still remembers. But he's like, yeah, so we need to do this. And none of the people he meets... believe him or
except Obi.
Obviously he's being like a crazy person, but Obi's like, yeah, that sounds reasonable.
He says it's like meeting one of his characters from his books.
He writes these crazy books. He doesn't really like his life. He wants to be an author, but he's like a theoretical physicist to pay the bills.
Yeah,
as one does.
Yeah, why not?
And so he gives him the TVA handbook, and Ouroboros is able to invent a prototype tempad and bring the whole band back together.
Yep, so he does, but then Loki talks to Sylvie, and Sylvie convinces him that maybe it isn't right for him to do this, that he should just let people live their lives, and maybe it's okay that the TVA is gone. And then he says, basically, what do you want? And he says, I just want my friends.
Like, yeah, he's never felt... part of something.
Yeah, and
like he's always been an outsider. He always felt inside his heart that he was an adopted child, even though they didn't let him know that. But he always felt a little different. He wasn't like the other Asgardians, because he wasn't an Asgardian. He's never had family. But he in these other misfits that were taken out of their time.
Yeah, it makes
sense. He feels a kinship with them, and he just wants to be part of something, and he just wants to be together. He doesn't want to be alone.
Yeah, that's what he says. And then once he figures that out, he realizes that he doesn't want to ask other people to give up, like, their lives for him. And he's, you know, Mobius has kids. And,
yeah.
And it's a whole thing. So then they go back.
And so, yeah, so Sylvie has convinced him that just let it be, and he's going to send everyone back, except Sylvie back in her own universe. Everything starts getting spaghettified.
Yep, everything is spaghettified, and it's actually... pretty cool to see. It's
money well spent on the VFX budget in this episode. Well, in this episode, on the next episode. Yeah. Oh my goodness! Yeah.
All the spaghettification.
And so, she uses her little tempad to escape her dying timeline.
Yep, literally at the last second.
And tells everyone, like, "No, we gotta fix this because it's not going well."
Yeah, it isn't like the branch timelines are just continuing on and people get to live their lives. It is the branch timelines are dying, and like those are people dying on those, and that's her whole thing. She's like, people don't get to live their lives.
Yeah, everyone's gonna die. We're all gonna die.
So, they
And they're like, okay, so, like, what do we do? And then it's like a very Infinity War thing where they all get spaghettified.
Yes, but then Loki figures out, Loki snaps back, and it's just a couple minutes prior. So he has time slipped. And part of Obi's whole thing was if only he could control the time slipping.
And now he figured out how to control it.
And it's not the what or where or why or how, it's the who. He's got to know his...
I know that band.
He's got to know his purpose, and his purpose is his people.
Glorious purpose.
Glorious purpose is people. Episode 6.
Glorious purpose. Yep. You know what episode 1, season 1 was called?
Glorious purpose.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Ouroboros.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay. Yep.
Mm-hmm. So good. So episode 1, season 1, glorious purpose. Season 2, episode 6, glorious purpose. And we open with our little memory of, like, some of the previously ons are actually things from the films.
Yeah, like, we're going deep Loki history here.
This is the whole Loki.
It's his whole life.
So he says, I know what to do, and he's able to time slip back to the moment where Timely's going to go down and time to be brave. And it happens. So then he backs up a little bit. And then he backs up a little bit more.
He's got a self-controlled Groundhog Day thing going on.
Yep. So basically, I'm going to run through it. But he does a lot of Groundhog Day, very Groundhog Day-ish, montage of him, like, trying to figure out.
Make this thing work.
And then he goes and he talks to OB and Mobius. And he's like, okay, figures out a bunch of stuff. And when he talks to Timely and OB, he says, how long would it take me to understand all this?
He's trying to make everything happen faster, because the whole point is that when Timely runs out there, it's been too long and there's too much temporal radiation, and that's why he gets spaghettified.
Yeah.
So he's like, okay, we got to speed this up. And, like, they're like, well, we still have to figure out how to make the expander thing. And he's like, okay, well, teach me how to do it so I can do it faster.
Yeah.
And they're like, how long is that going to take? And he's like, well, years, like centuries.
And then it's centuries, like, later.
Hundreds of years later.
So literally he did this for centuries, like over and over again. Then it's my favorite, because he's also, like, so, like, nice in this. Like, his tone is just very patient. What we're gonna do.
He's done this millions of times, basically, and it reminds me, like, this is a very small niche market, but watching gamers that do speedruns, and they have to, a speedrun is, like, you try and do the game as fast as possible. Mm-hmm. So the perfect example is, like, something simple like the original Super Mario Brothers. Mm-hmm. You can apparently beat that game in less than 8 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, it's, like, pixel perfect, mm-hmm. and you have to be, like, you have to do everything exactly right to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Him trying to fix the loom perfectly without Timely dying is, like, a speed run.
We see him centuries later doing a speed run, right? He's like, okay, this is what we're going to do, and this is what we're going to do.
And this is what's gone wrong before. Like,
and he's like,
do that.
And don't do this, and don't do that. And then, and here we go, and go. And everyone is, like, really confused about what's going on, but he's just kind of, like, running through it so fast. So Timely gets all the way down there. Gets it installed.
Hits the right button. And it's stuck, but he hits it properly.
And he says, he's like, sometimes that happens, just hit it again. Oh, and then it works. Perfect. He doesn't drop it. Apparently he dropped it at one point, or many points probably. Is able to come back, and while his suit is steaming, it is not spaghettifying.
Not spaghettifying.
He makes it back in. Things start to look good.
The loom expands.
Does exactly what it's supposed to do.
And then it still blows up.
And then it still blows up. Because it is expanding at an infinity rate.
Right.
And so you cannot...
If you think about it, that makes sense. You have all these branching timelines because people make different choices. And if you have free will, you're going to make, like... Mm-hmm. If you can make every single choice every time you make a choice, think about all those branched timelines,
So then Loki instead realizes that it all started when... Well, it is said when it blows up again that... this all started. It was doomed to happen ever since Sylvie killed He Who Remains. So then we go back to him trying infinity amount of times to stop Sylvie from killing He Who Remains.
Yeah.
He reasons with her.
He time slips back to the end of season 1.
Which is when we get to see Jonathan Majors being He Who Remains again. So they fight again and again and again and again and again. And you get to see He Who Remains die again or here again and again and again and again.
And again.
And then he goes.
So this is a very interesting part of this section. So if you remember back to the end of season one, when he gets stabbed, he looks at Sylvie and says, see you soon. Every time he dies, he says that,
mm-hmm.
but it's like more unhinged and like taunting
mm-hmm.
every time that happens.
Yeah, he's not taunting Sylvie.
No, he's not taunting Sylvie.
Yep. But anyway, in the middle of all this, he slips back out to talk to Sylvie in the branch timeline where they were discussing this. Just the two of them. He pauses time and just basically... Oh, sorry. Before that, Jonathan Majors actually paused this whole thing. And... I mean, Jonathan Majors, sorry. He Who Remains. Like, they have a conversation first before he goes to talk to Sylvie.
Well, I mean, he's fighting Sylvie and then... He Who Remains pauses Sylvie.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
And they have a conversation, and mm-hmm. he's like, oh, I would have thought you probably know how to do that by now. Is this the first time we're having this conversation?
Taunting.
And Loki looks all confused, like, what mm-hmm. are you talking about? And so then they kind of have a little battle mm-hmm. of wits. And then He Who Remains is basically like, yeah, well, I mean, this is what's going to happen. You have to let me be or take over for me, mm-hmm. like you said before. Like, there's no other option.
Right.
The loom is a safeguard. It's going to explode.
Yeah, it's a safeguard. It was going to only... Yeah, exactly.
And then he unfreezes Sylvie, and then Loki's like... Well, actually, I'm not left-handed either, and pauses Sylvie.
Yeah.
And it's He Who Remains' turn to be shocked, because, of course, this wasn't the first time they've mm-hmm. had this conversation. He's gone through this how many ever thousands of times and has figured out his life and has decided he's going to go a different way.
Yeah. So then he goes and he has a conversation with Sylvie, and Sylvie recognizes, you're going to have to kill me. To, like, get me
Yeah,
to
I
not...
mean, she keeps saying that over and over again
No,
well.
No, but then when they have the conversation, he says, what do you want me to do? And she said, like, because otherwise it's war. And then she's like, at least we'd have a chance. Then at least we would have a choice
right.
and a
so
chance.
So his He Who Remains is like, well, if I die, this is going to happen. And so you have to stop Sylvie, but Sylvie's not going to be stopped unless you kill her. And Loki's not going to kill Sylvie. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it kind of comes... It seems like it's coming down to a choice of him taking the throne or killing Sylvie is the only way this is to fix anything. Or he just lets it all...
Well, and
he's
like,
not going to do that either.
If he becomes the new He Who Remains, Sylvie's probably going to kill him too,
exactly.
right? Like,
exactly,
yeah,
right.
So
that's where we leave off. But Loki has decided to go a different way.
He's like, no, I choose option 3. And like, He Who Remains is like, I don't understand what you're talking about.
So he time slips again. And he time slips back to the room as Victor Timely, it's time to be brave. And he's going down the steps. And instead, Loki goes down the steps. And he locks everyone else out. And Sylvie and Mobius realize what he's going to do. And they are trying to break in. He just locks everyone else out. And he doesn't put on a suit or anything.
No, he puts on a suit.
Well, he does. He doesn't put on that suit. And he just starts walking out into the radiation. And as he's walking, he's like transforming.
His clothes melt away. And he becomes, like, effing Loki.
Like, the horns are just, oh, man. It's just, like, the robe flowing out
from
him.
Yeah, he gets a robe, and then, yeah, the horns form, and they're, like, kind of like the cobalt stuff from the Citadel mm-hmm. at the end of time. And he's, like, pushing through the time stuff, and he blows up the loom.
Mm-hmm. Blows up the whole thing.
And he's like, ha, take that, safeguard.
Yep, and I'm not done.
Yeah.
And then there's a rip. Is that immediately after? Yes.
No, well, so the time was like a ribbon of time around mm-hmm. the room. When he blows up the loom, it just becomes like random strands. It's
everywhere.
Like it's like a tangled, like if you've ever seen like cobwebs, it's like cobwebs.
And he's in the middle of it and he starts grabbing them.
And he just starts grabbing them and they're
but they're all kind of dying. All these webs are dying.
They look sad and pathetic and then there's a voice over like Sylvie's like, oh, the timelines are dying.
So he starts grabbing them and as he grabs them they kind of become green and more lifelike.
And he shoots some Loki energy into them.
Yeah. And so he starts gathering them with him as he continues walking. And he walks off the, I don't know, walkway. I don't know what to call it kind of thing.
The walkway is broken and he... he takes another step, and then there starts to be stairs going up to the, and then so then there's a big rip, and he looks back at everyone, and he's like, "Those are my friends," and he gives them a like a cool little nod.
And he just keeps gathering. Keeps
gathering and going in, and he goes into this time rip, or universal rip, I don't know.
It's a rip, whatever.
And he's just gathering all these loops of time, and I'm like, what in the F is going on? Like, what was going through your mind in this scene?
What the heck is going on? And then Mobius basically says that, and Sylvie's like, he's giving us a chance, echoing what she had said before.
Yeah. And so he's just gathering, like, all of creation. He's basically going to become the MCU version of Atlas. He's like holding up the multiverse,
I guess so.
And like has all this stuff, and he's like climbing these stairs, and he goes and he turns around, and they like form all around him, and it's a very Christ-like pose.
It is.
And forms a bit of another cloak kind of thing, and he takes his throne.
That he's always wanted.
He's always wanted the throne, but he also realized that he didn't want power.
No, he didn't. He wanted his friends.
He wanted friends, and now he's alone at the end of time.
Completely by himself.
But he's no longer the god of mischief.
No. He's the god of stories.
He's the god of stories.
Which was the other title for Loki.
Mm-hmm.
It is devastating for him, but also...
And then in the greatest... VFX on Disney Plus, probably, it kind of pans out and all these threads of universes expand into the world tree from Norse mythology.
It's like perfect.
Which is so cool.
It is so, so cool. We have like an epilogue, I guess. B-15 and Mobius are talking in the TVA, and they're going to go into the war room to have a conversation, like a debrief.
They're gonna be the new leaders of the TVA because like they've survived this whole thing.
Yeah, but we find out that Mobius has asked for a file, and earlier Sylvie kind of like called him out on not ever wanting to see his file from where he was pruned, and we find out he did ask for it after. So instead of going in, he tells that B-15,
he's gonna go back to his life.
He's gonna go back and at least look at it.
Salesman.
So then you see him watching himself play with his boys on his like suburban street, picking up like toys and stuff like that. Sylvie comes and talks to him and says, it feels weird that Loki's not here. And yeah. And, then she says, what are you going to do? And he said, I don't know. I think I'm just going to let time pass, because he's basically been immortal until this point. And he's just watching his house with this other life with him and his kids playing. It's also sad, but also happy. But
I think he's going to jump into that life.
Probably. But also you hear him saying that, and it echoes back, and then you see Loki sitting on the throne and kind of like hearing it. There's like a very bittersweet expression on his face.
So while he is alone, he's like tapped into everyone. So he's like not alone.
Yeah,
he's
mostly alone, but not entirely alone.
And he'll be back for Secret Wars, so it's all good.
It is
amazingly poetic.
Very poetic.
I want this Loki to meet up with Thor again. Because
Thor knew the other Loki.
Thor knew the other Loki, and this is a different Loki that started like from a different place, but then even matured even past like the Loki from Infinity War that died had matured quite a bit. And
yeah, he had an arc.
Had a pretty cool arc as well. Had kind of redeemed himself as well, but this one is like prime Loki.
This is like super Loki.
Yeah.
Oh man.
And I don't know. I'd like to see them. Like Loki was self-serving, but he just wanted recognition and like acceptance from his adoptive family. Like he just wanted Odin to love him as much as he loved Thor. That was like his whole purpose in life.
Yeah. And Thor did love him like a brother, but Thor was also very entitled during that time, so...
Mm-hmm. Well, and Thor's matured, though he did backtrack in Love and Thunder, which was a lot of people's problem with that movie. Marvel news, Taika Waititi has said that he doesn't want to be involved with Thor 5, and, like, I don't think Marvel wants him to be involved in Fair Thor enough. 5 either. Mm-hmm. I don't know what... Oh, he's probably promoting his new movie. There's a... He's basically got Cool Running Soccer.
Mm, cool.
Version, if you've seen ads for that. loosely based on a true story of some random team trying to qualify for the World Cup.
Oh, cool. And
very cool running vibes I get it from
that
it.
That makes sense. Yeah. Okay.
Sidebar over, sorry. Yes. I keep doing those.
I know, but I haven't heard this. Overall, what did you think?
Well, like I said at the top of this...
I'm just trying to come back from the sidebar.
The overall feeling, it's just fantastic. Like...
Yeah.
We started off last episode of, like, the Marvel clickbait, is the MCU dying? Stuff like this means it's not.
Yeah, it was very well done. Very, very well done. I loved it. I'm gonna make you... We're a very long episode, but you have to invent a Loki drink.
Okay, well...
You have to.
It's gotta have do you want creme de menthe or Mountain Dew? It's gotta have green in it. I'm like...
You're trying it too, so it's up to you.
Okay, well, it's gonna be Mountain Dew and gin.
Okay.
I'm trying to think of something for the horns, but it's not working.
No.
Sprig
of rosemary. It's green.
The horns are gold.
Okay.
Gold. Like, so, no, we're just gin and Mountain Dew. It seems extreme and wild, like a Loki. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah. And unexpected. It's very... And mischievous.
Just kind of simple.
Yeah. Because he realized that he doesn't need all the other stuff. Mm. I like it. But also, it's crazy, so...
It's extreme on a scale from 1 to 10. From 1 being not so extreme, and 10 being extremely extreme.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
Very good. I love this. I liked it. I really like Tom Hiddleston as Loki. It's just so good.
Hair flip.
And purposeful walking.
we didn't discuss all the hair. There's so many hair flips.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, every time he time slips, he does a...
Has to do a hair flip.
Big hair flip.
Mm-hmm. Hair flip.
He is good at hair flipping.
Yeah, he is. It's like really pronounced. It's almost as crazy as the posing that Black Widow does.
Yeah.
The poser, yeah.
It's a signature thing. It's a signature thing,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Signature hair flip. Okay, that's our show this week. Thank you, Emil, who's responsible for the custom theme song you heard at the top of the show. You can find a link to his work at our website, disneya.wixsite.com/podcast. It's also where you can find a link to our social media accounts. We are currently on Facebook and Instagram and only kind of sort of on... Twitter X Twitter.
Everyone just still calls it Twitter.
It's Twitter.
Honestly,
we don't post to that really anymore. But you can find our old, especially the live tweets of Brandon watching things. If you've rated or reviewed our podcast, thank you very much. And you can also find us on our YouTube channel, Adventures A. If you know someone who might like listening to us, please recommend Disney A as well. And next episode, like we already talked about, Life Day. I ran through that very quickly. Are you proud of me?
And Star Wars holiday special ish.
It's part of Life Day. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We gotta talk about what Life Day is, and
that's where Life Day came from.
Are you
actually
gonna sing the
That's
Carrie
also
Fisher?
Where Boba Fett came
that's
from,
true.
But yeah.
Are you gonna sing the Carrie Fisher song?
I am not.
No.
I'm gonna watch Lumpy's grandfather watches.
That's concerning.
Yeah.
So I'm Krista.
I'm Brandon.
And until that next adventure, TTFN, ta ta for now. Thanks for listening to Disney A.
Hair flip!